Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Right, hello everyone. It's a special Red News Podcast 286, and I'm joined by, how would you describe yourself? JP O'Neill, JP, Reddish author, historian now. We can call you a historian?
Historian, dearie me.
Got to be, isn't it?
I guess, if that's what, call me what you want. There's been plenty worse than historian, believe me.
The most important thing, this is going to come out the day the book is out, United in the 90s, so how can people get it?
The best way is through the link that's on Instagram, Twitter, both the handles for both of them are 1990s United, and also on Facebook. There's a Facebook,
bloody hell.
I know. 21st century.
Now you're a YouTube influencer, JP. Is this the new era then?
Definitely not.
If you've not seen the video of Andy and JP talking about the book, it's good. So,
Why don't you do YouTube, actually?
Because look at my face, JP. Seriously, look. Can you imagine the abuse I'd get?
Well, I'll tell you what. Bizarrely, talking about that, there was this girl I know. This is bizarre, this. She said, I went on a first date the other night. And no. I didn't know where this was going. And she went, and we watched the YouTube link. And I was like, all right.
Fucking hell.
And she went, no, I don't know what the point of her telling me was.
On a date?
I didn't go too deeply into it. I was just,
Jesus.
I didn't know what. And then she went, I think he's buying the book. I went, oh, that's good. That's good. Thanks. Yeah, great. I just didn't know
could
where
to
go.
Could be the date, could be you next at this, yeah, right?
Red News Podcast could be aphrodisiac. You know, it could be hidden sides to it.
I've got two O'Neills for the price of one because Paddy's in the background but doesn't want to appear. A guest appearance from Guatemala. Say hello, Paddy.
Hi, Paddy.
So, the itch that wouldn't go away. We first talked about this fucking 20 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years ago.
The project. Yeah. But why did you come back to it then?
Well, it was just always there, like say, itching away. Needed scratching. So, I did Red Rebels in 2017, and then it just seemed like, right, okay, that's the next one I've got to do. But initially I was tracking the same agent who had the deal for that Red Rebels. I asked him if he could do anything with this, and he was hitting brick walls, really. Got nowhere, so it just sort of, I just left it for a bit. A couple of years later, went back, thought, right, I'll write some of it, so at least he's got something to go with when he's pitching it. Again, it went nowhere, and then I just hit a wall with it. No motivation to do it, just on the back of, there's no one cracking the whip, there's no sort of deadline, there's no financial incentive, there's nothing. So, and every time it's just been there, I need to do the book. And obviously I kept telling people that that's what I was doing to sort of put it out there a little bit and bring some pressure to do it that way. So when people, oh, what you'll say, yeah, I'm writing a book. Oh, are you? Well, I'm just sort of looking at it once every 6 months on the computer for 5 minutes and then turning it off again. But I don't know, it got to last Christmas, and I'd gone back to it a couple of times last year and done quite a bit, I don't know, a week at a time maybe, and so I'm not getting very far very quickly, but January I just said, right, this is it, this is when I'm going to do it. Got into a bit in January, got waylaid again, I think went back to it in April, did maybe just a couple of months on it, got waylaid in the summer, you know, kids off and all that sort of thing. And then in August I just said, right, September, I'm getting into it. It's going to be, gotta get it out for Christmas. If it's not this Christmas, it's never happening. I'm just going to bin it, delete it forever. So anyway, I thought it'd take me till the end of September. I think I did pretty much, but I finished it the 11th of November, put it that way. And that was just, it was every single day, like 10, 12 hours a day, easy. Every day, maybe 4 or 5 days that I didn't touch it in that time, but on average, 10, 12 hours.
Well, you've got to be proud of it. Like, A, how does a young pup then... Well, I know how you can remember, because you weren't in the pubs with us.
Well, that's,
but, like, you gave me... You kindly gave me an advanced look at the early stuff. And it's like... I'm not just saying it, it's like the mix of the on-field plus the culture, the cultural changes. It's like, and it's stuff coming up, like we were talking about it. It's like, oh, I've forgotten that, I've forgotten that. So how have you done that? Like, the research?
Well, it's, I mean, the thing is, obviously, like you say, I've got a good memory anyway. I do have a pretty good, well, from my long-term memory, and my short-term these days is not perhaps not as up to scratch. But so I remember stuff, and the thing is, when you're a kid, you're absorbing absolutely everything of everything, aren't you? So you go to Old Trafford, and you're obsessed with and you're reading everything, you know, every book and whatever, and yearbook, every stat, and you just know it. You know everything, don't you, about the era when you first go. And then you've got the fanzines, which are an amazing source of contemporary. The zeitgeist, I guess, if you want a cringy word. But and nothing, because that's exactly what's going on. I mean, you wouldn't get that so much today in a fanzine in the last 15, 20 years, because as soon as internet forums starting up, everyone spouts off on the internet, don't they, day to day about what's going on.
Yeah, you had to change, so, because you can't write about stuff that's dated the next day, sort of thing.
So I don't know, around 2001, 2002, Red Issue had to completely revolutionise what it was, because we had the forum started in October 99, and it was slow at first, but that just, what that did straight off the bat was take 10 pages of letters out of the mag. So you've got to find 10 pages of content straight away there, don't you? Which whereas before that, you go back and look at these things. It's like I used to go into Central Library at times, doing a piece for the mag, and one of the best ones I ever did, that from just fucking, can I look at this, it's amazing, was I wanted to do something on Valencia 82.
Right.
With all the trouble there.
Yeah.
And it was like a look back, old European.
The litany of names on that charge sheet.
But it's been doing the rounds for some reason.
It's last week, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know where that's from, but I'm pretty sure it's the one that I got out of Central Library 23 years ago or something. Maybe longer. But I think it's even used. It's got all the list of the names. Yeah. And the name, half the names still going today. And they all got, what was it, the Talk of the Coast or whatever the pub was called, and they all got nicked in.
Yeah.
But a load of them had got nicked at the same bar during Spain 82 in the World Cup as well. There's something had gone on there when Faz got the donkey drunk.
They were feeding
the donkey or the beer, weren't they?
Ask Faz for his impression of the pissed donkey.
Oh, but my God,
so for me, 1990 hit, the perfect age, just that decade. But it's the last... Everything changed, didn't it? Everything. From, each season, there was something dramatic happened.
Off pitch
as well.
And everyone sort of realised it at the time to an extent, but only with the terracing, I think. Everything else was like, well... But the terracing thing, I mean, so many people didn't go again, essentially, between the price increases from what they did before, driving people out and preparing you for seats. But if you look at that sort of shock of 92, Stretford End's gone, because United Road had gone, quite a lot went in the Stretford End when United Road closed or was seated. But a load wouldn't have gone again. And then the Stretford End, straight away, 12,000 people weren't there. 13,000 people weren't there at the start of the next season.
Well, it's bonkers to think people wouldn't. So we had a capacity of 44,000. It's just, from United's.
And the thing is, none of those early games in 92, 93 sold out.
No.
Even Leeds. Played Leeds, five games in or whatever it was. It wasn't a sellout. You could buy them, right? Don't think United Leeds, they never put them on sale on their day, because it was all, they made it all ticket and what have you. But you couldn't pay in on the day. But you could buy tickets up to the day before for that Leeds game. You see empty seats if you watch it. There's empty seats in, you know, United Road, yeah. North Lower, and that's with a 33,500 capacity playing Leeds,
yeah,
as the champions.
But it's like, so for example, I was just thinking, you know, in 30 years, which is a long time and not a long time, we've gone from no phones. You'd ring up Friday night, what train are we getting from Euston? Right, okay, if you miss it, see you in an hour. You've got to go to five pubs and you'll find us in one of them. Yeah. You'll pay on the day, you'll have the cash in hand, you'd jib the train to a total, everything's got to be military planned. And that started in the 90s, didn't it?
It's just the slow creep, and it's the boiling the frog analogy.
Could we have done more as fans?
Could have done a lot more, but I mean, it's not so much then, because no one really knew. I mean, people did, and they saw the way it was going, but there was comments, letters, articles about this at the time, so people did appreciate what was going on. But I think to the extent that it's happened, and whereby now it's £66 or whatever the rat has imposed this season, last season.
Well, categories, I mean, as well. We used to take the piss out of clubs doing categories.
We're United. We watch, you know, you can have categories, your crappy little other clubs. You have different, we play every week. You know, that's the United category, so we pay one price, that's it. And now we're introducing them as though Liverpool is more important than whoever, Wimbledon, I don't know. It's like, well, United is still playing. Who cares? Who cares who it's against, really?
Was Liverpool the last roar of our support?
2021?
Yeah. Was that it?
Was it a roar? I mean, it ultimately went out of the whimper. That day, the game was called off, brilliant, everything. But for me, I was out 10 days later, or whenever it was. And all it needed was 100 out in that afternoon, evening. And there was 15. By the time, it was me on my own for a lot of the time, with what needed to happen that day to do it again. And all that needed to happen was get that game called off again. Follow up, they brought them to the knees. After 20, what was it, so then 16 years, brought them to the knees, and we got sold out by Must. Absolutely sold down the river. And, you know, they killed it with what they said. Oh, it turns out they've been talking to him since November, unbeknownst to anybody. Oh, secret talks about, what was it? Oh, they're going to have a fan share scheme. Don't want a share scheme. No. Just brought them to the knees. You're in a 20-year war here, and you're signing an armistice, and you've got no terms because of something that you think you might get. Oh yeah, well, let's call it off. They're on the knees, but let's call it off because they're screaming for mercy. Well, you go for the throat.
Whether you agree with all of you, what you say, disagree with all of what you say, United's fan base needs you.
But the thing,
is you back?
The thing, no, it's not. No. The thing with that is
no red issue.
The thing with that, the worst bit of that was that no one spoke to me. They're putting statements out about whatever it was they said at the time. No one spoke to me. Now, I'm not saying that as, oh, I'm so important, I need to be consulted. But look what happened. There's been twice. Three times, if you count, where they went out of Old Trafford in police fans in 2005. FC was a big threat to him. And then that
your movement has been a significant...
And there's been others that have been big and had proper impact, like the 2004 Arsenal game and the Hereford. And these are the only things that have had impact. Green and gold, do me a favour. And yet, no one picks up the phone and even spoke. And then you've got that McGar, what's he called, taking a job off him and saying he represents the fans. What has he done for United fans in the past, 3 years that he's had that job? It gets worse. It gets worse for them every single month.
But if you've got the itch, then why? So is Red Issue going to
come? But I'll tell you why I won't. Because when that replayed Liverpool game, there weren't enough out. all right, there was a little bit of a show at the thing, at the ground, but it was all performative. And all it needed was 100 in town, again, with what I had a plan. But people didn't want to know.
Your movement had a plan, too.
Well, no, I had a plan. But
I tried not to.
Anyway, so there was a little... Okay, so fast forward. So it didn't happen. That was May. I thought, right, well, that's me done. Anyway, there's in end of July, United played QPR in London. And so I say, oh, come on, let's do something for that. And I just thought, nothing's going to happen. No one's interested. They're not prepared to put anything on the line. Why should I? Why should I? But anyway, I went down there. I was in London that day and I just thought, well, people have mentioned it. Let's see. It's the first pre-season friendly. Fans are back, everything else. Let's see if anyone gives it a... And I went in a pub and the overwhelming vibe was, no, we want to see the new sign. Everyone's excited to see new signings. And I was like, what? These fucking wankers who play for United these days, these tossers. You'd rather go and watch them in a pre-season at QPR than take some action that can potentially help drive the Glazers out after 16 years. And you know who the big signing was that day? For that game, he was making his debut, or was supposedly making it. I don't even know whether he did or not in the end, but fucking Sancho. So people are prepared to go watch a totter like him and look at how he's regarded now. And you think, you as a collective chose not to do something that day. Now, whether something would have happened or not is immaterial. But you chose not to even bother thinking about doing something to go watch Jadon Sancho in a United shirt.
So did get to the book, did that, you know, 95, the Arsenal, sit down, was that one of the major turning points as well? You know, like SBS then came in.
When they said Arsenal before, I meant the 2004 game, but the 95 one was that was like prodding the line a little bit, wasn't it? Because obviously United support, once there's a support United everywhere, not just United, but you know, United was this feared beast, the club, everyone feared it. The Observer called the Stretford End an academy of violence. I mean, that's how these people should be viewing United fans for a start. Now you've got the club absolutely taking a piss out of United fans, and United fans are scared of the club. Oh, they're scared. Oh, I lose my ticket. Oh, I can't sell my ticket to you and give
it to your brother.
I've got to put it back on the thing. I can't. Yeah, you can't give it to your brother, your son, your mum.
Well, that's like,
they go to Tottenham like the other week, and they're finding tickets switched off, which is just you know, people have paid all funds, the time and expense
at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning,
and you're missing parts of the game that you spent a fortune getting to, and people, they're not happy about it, but they're accepting of it. Oh well, yeah, it's required because I'll tell you what, no sponsors tickets are getting switched off, no players tickets are getting switched off and having to go to the ticket office. It's only the little people, the season ticket holders, who are probably in the loyalty pot, most of them.
But that's from someone who stayed behind, say, you know, the man I'm now in mid-50s hasn't got the militancy, I'm protect, you know, the things I do in my 20s, because I've got a family, that's how they win, isn't it?
Well, of course it's how they win, it's divide and conquer like it always is. But the thing is, it's the same in society, is it? Football, and football is always the practice ground. It's always where they trial things out. It's like they trial banning orders, and then and then no one objects, and then they're running them out as Asbos for kids everywhere, and then it's terrorism legislation. I mean, look at all that utter nonsense they did. It was United Liverpool where they trialed it in 2003, I think it was, and they made out they did this absolute sham raid on a place in Russia, and I mean, and they nicked a couple of lads, And they said, oh, we found a United ticket. Oh, and they put this story in the front page of the Sun saying, oh, yeah, terrorists to target Old Trafford. And there's a little, and it was just utter bollocks, the whole thing. And we did an article about a year later.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because I think it was Andy Walsh. He had a mate from school or something that he spoke to. And this, and he was then in the, I think he was in counter-terrorism in London or something, his mate. And he just went, we didn't know any of this.
But that,
and he's like one of the head.
But that's what, like, you got the itch. Whether people agree with you on some things, disagree with you, agree, then, you know, like, United needs you. You know, I don't make it, but whether I'll agree with some of the
look,
stuff.
Look, people, well, if they need, no, what United fans need is to stand up for themselves. They need to realise the power, and they need to and take it back. Because at the minute, they've handed it away to wankers at the club. I mean, who just regard them with disdain and take the piss out of them. Like that's Sam Kelly. That's what's he called? Sam Kelly or whatever in the ticket office, right? Someone like him, a little jumped up weasel like him. How are people scared of him and his goons there? It's like from but United fans.
But that's where the digital
Digital prison. And the thing, but the thing is, this is what I don't understand, right? People think, oh, they say about digital, nothing to fear, nothing to hide. Oh, the government, what's the problem, digital ID, blah blah blah, all this bollocks, right? Dan Mellor, what's he called on Twitter, what's his name, he posted something really good, dead pithy little line, I've forgotten what it was now, won't do quite do it justice, but he said the other week on Twitter, he said something like, what digital ID is, it's like with the season tickets at United, the things that you've always done will suddenly be like criminalised, yeah. You'll be switched off. And so all these people go to Tottenham or wherever it is in recent months and they're just switched off. The computer says no, the system doesn't allow
you. But
that's
because it's...
And that's what digital ID is.
Putting the fear of God, and that's what we fought in the 80s with. Right, we've got to talk the book. But
again, it's about knowing your power, and the club should be terrified of United fans. The government should be terrified of the people. And somehow they've managed to invert this relationship whereby people are scared of them.
But that's what we were saying.
I won't be having digital ID. I'll be talking like,
retirement age 67, the French riot, and we just, you look at your HMRC and then it says what the thing. But, right, come on.
It's all interconnected. It's all relevant because, like I say, football's the testing ground for all these ideas. So this is why digital ID, they're getting football fans used to it initially, and they see what pushback. And the first big thing with it for me was the League Cup final against Newcastle the year, and then Newcastle had paper tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
And United fans had. Oh, I said, what about old people who don't have a smartphone? And I'm looking to Must, where are you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, again, the little poodle running around the kitchen, right? Barking the keys. You can't have any influence, and all they've ever done is, oh, we don't want trouble at a protest and all this. If you don't have the air of menace against these people, whether it be United, the government, whoever, they can do what they want. So you don't have to actually use it. But you need that air of menace, and they're just like a little yapping dog, whereas you need a big lion or a tiger to roar. You don't have the threat of being able to tear them limb from limb.
And
that's the difference.
With all
it's
that
like,
you're saying, like, it just seems a wasted thing. Well, you've got to finish the second part of the book, haven't you? Like, before we get the first. Right, what was your favourite chapter to work on?
I don't know. It was
because you no spoil. But you finish it when? When's the book end?
It finishes summer of '95. It's like a natural break because, some people might not know the story. Don't want to spoil.
So give a little.
Obviously the team changes, doesn't it? The team changes.
So you've got some exclusive info about what happened that summer. You know, with the Fergie, the departures.
I wouldn't say it's exclusive. I mean, it's just. But I'll tell you what, people. There's a lot of stuff in there that people just don't remember. And the thing is, it's after the FA Cup win in 1990, people just think it's this unbroken, seamless progression to years and years of glory, and the thing is, even in 92, even in 93, it wasn't like that one little bit. It was well, what's going to happen next? And the biggest intention I had is, if someone's reading it, they have to be not what you think now looking back, and sort of dupe yourself that it was all this seamless path to land the milk and honey, but to take you back as though you were there. And whether I've done that or not successfully, I mean, you've read bits of it, haven't you? So,
yeah. Well, it's transported me back.
Yeah,
it's my favourite.
It's for us to be the
to
judge,
be young.
Isn't it? But that's what I wanted to do in writing it. Take people back to then as though you were then and you're reliving it.
But also, loads of stuff. Just that, you know, like when you're detailing, 1991, just like bits that you just think, oh God, that happened then, you know, like. So where's it start?
Well, it starts in the 6-2. So the 6-2 at Arsenal is the 28th of November, and it's coming out on the 28th of November. That's why I did
that's
that.
That's like Florence and the Machine, Halloween. That's why I did it, Screaming Queen.
Now, I set that date, when did I set it? I don't know, end of September or whatever. And I just thought, there's absolutely no chance this is going to be out for the 28th of November. But somehow, I've managed it. It's all, everything's aligned. I don't
self-published know. As well, which, fucking hell.
Yeah, I would have liked another couple of read-throughs of the book. With, you know, a week's delay, just so it's sort of more, which, so, you know, if Paul Leywood picks it up, I hope he's generous to any mistakes in there, but I don't think he'll be reading it somehow, will he?
But do you enjoy the writing?
In terms of, I read the first chapter the other day with sort of fresh eyes after not, I left it for the 10 days or whatever, and I found three little typos, which was a bit, so if that's all that's in the if that's all anyone finds in that first chapter, I'll be happy. But obviously it's going to be little ones, because I've not had proper chance. Like with Red Rebels, I must have read it three times. It had its own proofreading, it had the editor, it had two other people I got to read it, and yet just with this, it's been so last minute.
Well, which have you preferred, doing it yourself or with someone?
I don't know,
because
I've never written a book before, Red Rebels, so that was amazing to have done that at the end of it. But this, it's been so long doing, and it's been so hard. Honestly, it's been so hard, and everything that's gone into it. I mean, I've had to finance the whole lot, but I wouldn't do that unless I knew it was good.
Yeah.
I've had to pay everything, and that's before I've sold a single copy. So
yeah, it's a big risk.
I'm just asking people if they buy it, if they read it, if they like it, they've got to do my marketing for me, because there's no publisher behind it. If they want part two and to find out what happens there,
Are you going to do any mainstream interviews?
People have to. There's one that somebody's been on to me for a couple of weeks about, and he's saying that he wants to do it Thursday or Friday, which will be quite a big one, actually.
Right.
I don't know how big
my
input to it will be, but the actual platform is huge. But whether I've got to see, he got onto me yesterday saying it's happening, so we'll see. We'll see Thursday, Friday. But
do you enjoy the writing?
Oh, I love doing it. But at the same time, hated it. And there's a little bit, just because it takes over your life, doesn't it, for the time that you're doing it. And there is a little part of me that hopes the book doesn't sell, just so I don't have to take the whole of next year trying to get part two out. But, you know, that's the challenge. You've got to meet it. You've got to meet the challenge. If people buy it, and that's what I need, because naturally, if there's a job to do, I'll do it. But if there's not, I'll just fuck about and read shit.
Well, from the advance orders so far, people have been kind. As I say, we're grown up adults, and what I think's missing is, I'll say again, disagree with some of what you say, agree with some of what you say, but I love
which
you.
Which bits
you
disagree
with? Well, I think sometimes you go a bit too far. I've said that. You know, like, we disagree about certain things about COVID.
But
we're grown-ups, so I'll still hug you, but, like, we're missing that bit that we'll...
6 metres away. 2 metres away.
But then, over time, some of what I disagreed with is then borne out, you know,
you mean I end up being right.
But it's like... But getting back to... So I was, say, Montpellier... me, Sean, Rob, John the ref, rang each other. Oh, I've got an STI. I was working in the bookshop then.
I think
then.
I was saying STI.
No, that's another story. Fucking hell. But at the STA travel, I'll go there next door. I'll ring you back. So I had all their numbers in a fucking phone book.
Yeah.
Right, I go there. How much is the flight to Paris? Yeah. Right, go. Ring them back. Shall we do this? Okay. Yeah. I'll get the cash from the bank. But train it down. You had none. And it was just the greatest time. And I still, like Rob, who I miss every fucking day, you know, 99. To complete where the second book will go, hopefully, is like, and then he went, I'm done, I've seen it all. Yeah, and I'd maintain, Moscow, you know, you can do it differently. And I still, you know, I'm a dying embers, the thing, but last night you still see enough people, but I know it's gone.
Well, that's it, the community's shrinking. The club is trying to get rid of the community. And this is what makes me laugh when they're doing whatever for Manny last night, making out this, that. Manny is, he epitomises the exact type of person United are trying to drive out of the club. Young local, Scally back in the day, he was on the ferry in 86. Away he'd be labelled a hooligan.
Well, Ian Brown gave up because of his dispute with the stewards.
He'd be labelled a hooligan, right? He's always working away, travelling, so I don't know whether he still had a season ticket as of this season or whatever, but he's had season tickets over the years. He would have left it unused, give it his mates or whatever, give it his kids.
As he passed it on to family and friends,
He's exactly the person that they want rid of.
But I've made peace with my new
ground. They loaded him last night because he's a celebrity and they can maybe get something out of it.
I've made peace.
Sell a few Stone Roses, them crappy Adidas Stone Roses.
I'm 50 years next year.
They make you sick.
It'll be 5 years is my, then that's it. Anyway, right, we're up to the 30 minutes. I've got a train. Sell it one last time, baby. Hit me, baby, one more time.
well, Britney's not on the cover. sell it. Oh, rewind this and press play from the start. Hopefully that sells it.
Right, and then last... Right, so it'll be out today. This is going out on the day of release. And go to 1990s United on Twitter. But there's also a QR code in the new mag.
Yeah, and yeah... And just ask Barney. Ask anyone. You'll find it.
And you might be doing stuff that people can make. Well, watch this space.
If it works, I'll do volume 2, and then so you'll have from basically the start of Fergie, because it's not just the 1990s. I cover a lot of the early Fergie years as well, because you have to. And then there'll be 3 books, like Star Wars trilogy,
and then
but more weird.
Then Red Issue one-off special,
and then.
You know, I don't even care if you slag me off in it. Just need it back for a one-off.
So this will be to 95. This will be to 95. Part two will be till 2001, and then Red Rebels. It's like Return of the Jedi or whatever. That 2001 onwards, and then you got the sweep, and someone else can do
the 80s. Andor.
Oh no, don't watch any of that shit.
use the analogy and not watch it.
Andor season two, basic.
Right, and good to see you, Paddy. You've been very quiet during this.
First time since he's been back.
See you later, everyone. Bye.